Did the voters get that right? We'll debate that topic and many others in this week's debut of I Ask, They Answer with two gentlemen who are never shy with an opinion, trainer Dale Romans and turf writer Tim Wilkin. But we begin with a look back at this year's Saratoga meet, which concluded on Labor Day, and it's music to the ears of those who work at NYRA. The meet once again set a new all-time, all-sources handle record, so it does beg the question, should the New York Racing Association add even more days to the meet in upstate New York? Timmy, you were there covering the meet every day, so let's start with you. Should the meet be expanded even further?
Well, Mike, no. Absolutely not. 40 days is plenty at Saratoga, and I'm sure Dale and the other horsemen would agree with that because it's not cheap to go up to Saratoga and stay there for the summer. And if they were to increase it, I just think that it would create more problems than not. And I think that 40 days, which they started that in 2010, has been a good model to work with. And I think that that's the way that it should stay.
Dale, how about you? What do you think?
Well, I mean, at this time, I would say stick to the 40 days. I think, you know, the dynamics are going to change a little bit the way Kentucky's going. And I think you'll see a lot less horses out of the Midwest go to Saratoga for the daily purses and the daily races. They may still be coming for the stakes, but the way things are going in Kentucky, the purse structure at Ellis Park going way up and looks like it's going to increase and improve. And it's so tough up there. There's not a lot of reason for guys around the Midwest to go up right now. One thing you don't want to do is run into a horse shortage up there. And I do think the 2 days off a week gave everybody a chance to freshen up and get excited about coming back to the races. And this year is an anomaly. You think about it. Last year, there were no fans at Saratoga. And it was nice to go. I went almost every day I was there and just hung out and watched. I didn't have a lot of horses there. But it was the people were having fun and making the most of it. But let's keep this momentum going a little bit longer before we start extending.
Yeah, Timmy, what do you say to the people who look at it just purely from a number standpoint and say, you know what, the numbers keep increasing at Saratoga, that we're doing well when we come here. Why not add another week or another 5 days to the meet to try to capitalize on that momentum even more from a financial perspective?
Well, I get that, but it's also, you know, the people that are putting the show on that come up here that don't own a place, then the rent gets a lot steeper. The help has to come up, and they have to stay somewhere. And you know, this year, I know that on the backstretch, there was a lot of barns that were in desperate need of help. They didn't have enough help. So I think that has to play into it, too. And I'm sure that some of that problem with the help was due to COVID. People didn't want to travel. And I think that they'd have to do a lot of research into this to even think about expanding, which right now they are not, by the way. The New York Racing Association is not looking at expanding this meet at all.
Well, it's interesting that both of you would say no, because that was our poll question today on our Twitter feed, and 58% of HRN Nation saying absolutely not. They should not add more dates to the Saratoga meet, so they are in agreement with you. Let's move on to another topic. You had 29-year-old jockey Luis Saez recording 64 victories at the Saratoga meet en route to his first ever riding title at the Spa. He finished 6 wins clear of 2015 title winner Irad Ortiz Jr., who of course has been the overall top jockey in the country 3 straight years. Is Luis Saez the best jockey in the game today? Dale?
There's not anybody any better, but I'm going to tell you what, this is a if you're a racing fan, this is a great time to be a fan of these jockeys. There's a bunch of good kids from Irad to Joel and Jose Ortiz, and they're good. And Angel Cordero. I mean, you could interchange them, and you knew you were going to get a good ride. If you were at Saratoga this summer and you couldn't get a good jockey, you were in the wrong race.
Timmy, what say you?
Louis, I was on a Louis bandwagon early. I mean, he's ridden the Derby for me, and he's just a good kid and a good, strong rider, and he just continues to improve. And these guys are, it's almost like the Tiger Woods here. They really work at staying healthy and improving themselves and getting better every day. And it's been fun to watch these young guys take over the game.
He's got a pretty good agent now, too, doesn't he, Dale?
He does. Karen's done a good job with him. I mean, he had the best agent in the game. He retired Richard to pass, but I think Karen has done a great job. Richard handed him off to him and has kind of helped and mentored him, but Karen's done a great job. It's a tough thing, act to follow when you go follow one of the greatest of all time at what they did, like Karen did from Richard to pass to Louis.
Timmy, what say you? Is Louis Saez the best jockey in the game today?
Well, he's certainly, like Dale said, he's one of them. I mean, the thing about him that impressed me up at Saratoga is, you know, he rode for everybody. I mean, it seemed like he didn't have a one-person stable that he was the go-to guy for. He seemed to ride for everybody, and he was riding prices, too. I mean, Louis would get on horses that you'd think that the leading rider at Saratoga wouldn't be getting on, and he would win with them. I mean, he's just a good, solid rider. Great hands, and he's fearless. He's a fearless rider, and you know, and it didn't hurt any that he was riding the big horse of the meet in Essential Quality. I mean, his reputation is just growing and growing. He's 29, but he's gonna get better.
Yeah, when you're topping jockeys like Irad Ortiz and Jose Ortiz and Johnny Velasquez and Javier Castellano, when you're blowing those guys out of the water, you're doing something right. And Louis Saez is certainly among the top jockeys in the game today. There's no doubt about it. The latest Breeders' Cup Classic poll came out this past week, and it shows 3-year-old Essential Quality topping the list of Breeders' Cup contenders. I mentioned earlier, he is ranked ahead of seasoned older horses like Nick's Go and Maxfield and Max Player. Did the voters get this one right? Timmy, you get a vote in this particular poll, so let's start with you. Is this the right call?
Yeah, I voted for Essential Quality, so of course it's the right call. I was looking at the latest stats that came out, Essential Quality's on top, but he only got 7 first place votes. Nick's Go got 15. So that might be telling you something there, that what the voters are thinking. But I just think that right now the 3-year-olds are better than the older horses. I mean, as we go farther into the season, I mean, Nick's Go was very, very, very impressive in the Whitney. He only beat 4 horses, though. Maxfield, who I had picked in that race, I give him a pass on that race. I think he's going to come back and he'll be a factor as we head to the Breeders' Cup Classic. But the 3-year-olds, Essential Quality and Hot Rod Charlie, Midnight Bourbon ran a bang-up race in the Travers. I think he's going to be a factor as we move forward. I think that right now, Essential Quality, in my eyes, is the best horse in the country.
Dale, do you agree?
Well, I'm not as sold as Tim is, but I think he's a great horse. But a vote for Essential Quality is a vote for the strength of this 3-year-old crop. You know, he's never gone on and won by a lot of lengths, and he's just getting by the horses, and you don't knock him for that. A lot of horses will only run as hard as they have to, and he's beating them up. But I'd say if you're voting for Essential Quality, you're voting that this is a good 3-year-old crop. I think there's an interesting twist here with Nick's Go. It's been so impressive. And there's nothing better than speed and stamina. When you get to the front, you have a horse that has good stamina. They're hard to beat. Now, what do you do if you're Brad Cox? Do you send Essential Quality after him? Do you let Nick's Go gallop on the front? In order to beat Nick's Go, I think you've got to get help. I think someone has to run with you and pressure you. And so it's in a peculiar position. I'm sure Brad would want Nick's Go on the lead by himself selling. But when do I go after him? When do I pressure him? When do I try to beat him with Essential Quality? It's an interesting combination.
That's the question I would have, Dale, is if no one goes with Nick's Go, is anyone going to catch him?
Right. You know, in the Travers, it put Essential Quality in the race, and he was up there aggravating the horse on the lead, and he finally came and got him. Now, do you do that to your own horse? I don't know the answer. I've been in those positions a few times, but Do you go ahead and tell Louis to attack him early and try to weaken him, and it's your own horse you're trying to weaken, or do you let him keep galloping and try to nail him at the wire? Brad's in a great spot, but it's a tough spot.
Well, let me spin it to you this way, guys. If the Breeders' Cup Classic were being run this afternoon, would Essential Quality be the favorite in that race?
I think Nick's Go would be the favorite, even though I would pick Essential Quality.
And I'll go the other way. I'll say Essential Quality might be the favorite because all the attention so much is on the 3-year-old racing. But I'm going with Nick's Go. I just don't think he goes after him early. And if he gets a clear lead, he's not going to catch him.
Dale, you mentioned the fact that, a vote for essential quality is a vote for the strength of the three-year-old crop. You've had so many top horses over the years. Sitting here on September 11th, is a three-year-old at this time of the season, in terms of his physical development, is he on par with older horses at this point?
If not, they're close. And you can look at the history. The Breeders' Cup three-year-olds have done very well. And I think by the time we get to late October, they're going to be equal to the older horses. But it's the age-old question. It gets this time of year, and the argument always starts about how strong was this three-year-old crop. And it really proves itself out when they go ahead and hook the older horses. You know, it's the same thing was said about American Pharoah after we beat him in the Travers. Was it just a weak three-year-old crop or how good he was? Well, he went on and proved that the crop was a great three-year-old crop where he crushed the Breeders' Cup Classic group. And I just think that's an interesting component to all of it is it's really the first time these horses are all going to merge together, and we'll find out how good these three-year-olds are.
Well, as far as a history lesson, I mean, I looked it up. In the history of the Breeders' Cup Classic, four-year-olds have won the Classic 15 times, but three-year-olds have won it 13 times, and the other nine were five-year-olds. And last year we had a three-year-old to win it with Authentic. But, the three-year-olds have definitely had a say in who wins the Breeders' Cup Classic, and I think it'll happen again this year. And who knows? Maybe it won't be Essential Quality. Maybe it'll be Hot Rod Charlie.
Yeah, because this is the time of year when some of these horses start to turn and get bigger and stronger. Now, some of them may not mature as fast as others and be ready for late October. But like I knew it was pretty close with the three-year-olds and the older horses. But so the history shows if you like a three-year-old, you can bet on him with confidence and not exclude him just because he's been younger.
That's Dale Romans. Tim Wilkin is with him. This is I Ask, They Answer, our brand-new segment, which we will bring your way every single Saturday morning, 10:30 Eastern, here on the Equine Forum. They will debate many different topics over the course of the coming weeks and over the course of the coming months. Guys, let's shift gears from the racing side of things to the breeding side. And on Thursday, the Jockey Club announced their projection for the expected size of the 2022 foal crop in North America. They are projecting 18,700 foals next year. That is 500 fewer foals than the 2021 crop, which was estimated and what we saw here in 2021. Is that cause for concern, or is it no big deal?
I'll take this one first, Timmy, if you want. That's in my mind, it's a short-term problem, but I think it fixes itself. If you go back over the history of horse racing, the foal crop has gone up and down, up and down, and it's all has to do with how the sales go. People don't do any good. Stud feeds lead the way. When stud feeds are high, and then all of a sudden the market changes and drops a little bit, and people are having to pay these big stud feeds that they signed up for 2 years earlier, and they're trying to sell their foal, and they're not doing any good. They get out of the broodmare business. Then the sales start picking back up again. The economy of racing gets better, which I think it's going to with the way people are betting and the amount of purse money that we're running for. Then you'll see more broodmares put online. But it will be a temporary problem. We do need horses right now because there's more racing going on with all these racinos that have good purses. And there's, like in Kentucky, there's competition now from Indiana. There's competition from Ohio and Prescott that we used to never have to compete with. So we need more horses. I think we had a few years back, the economy dipped and the horse racing was down a little bit. Economy's back up. I think the sales will be strong. And I think that you'll start seeing that we've hit the bottom and the crops will start growing again.
How much do you think the problem has been with COVID?
Now, I don't know how you can say it's COVID. It's usually based on everything comes down to money. And it's if you can make money with broodmares and the market is good, then you're in. But if you've lost money with your broodmares and went through a couple of bad years, then the only people left are the deep-rooted ones that have been here for their whole lives and have nothing else to do. So everybody else dumps their broodmares. Nobody wants an inexpensive broodmare. But then it always seems to balloon back up. You know, things go good again. People start making money. Sales are good. Everybody jumps back in, so let's try this again. I think it's a temporary it's a problem, but a temporary problem that will fix itself by the economy of racing.
Timmy?
You know, obviously I'm not an expert in this like Dale is, but, you know, looking at the numbers, I mean, this is the sixth straight year of decline. I don't know what the reason is, but everyone that I've listened to talk about this, they think it's, like Dale said, it's a temporary problem, and people think that it will rebound. So who am I to say it won't? Again, this is not an area of my expertise at all. So I'm gonna go by what they say and hope that they're right.
Yeah, you know, Dale brings up the fact of the competition and the expansion of racing and those types of things. And Dale, as the foal crop declines, there are fewer horses that can be out there in the mainstream and in the pipeline to be racing. So we see smaller field sizes, which of course affect the handle numbers at many tracks around the country. Is there too much racing now? Should racing contract a little bit, or are we in a pretty good position?
I think we're in a pretty good position. You know, we always have to have a minor league in any sport. And so if you're going to contract, it would be from the bottom. But we need the bottom. We need the bottom for horses that have been bought that can't make it on the A circuit. They need a place to go. And we need a place for people to cut their teeth and become world-known trainers at the smaller markets, like most of us did. And I don't think we need to contract. I think one of the keys to the future of the full crops will be what happens next week. Keep your eye on the sales. I'm driving to Kingman right now to go shopping, so keep your eye on the sales. And I'll guarantee if the sales are good this year, there'll be more foals next year.
All right, well, there he is, Dale Romans, Tim Wilkin. I ask, they answer. Guys, we have about 2 minutes left. I didn't tell you I was going to do this, but we'll go ahead and since this is the first edition of I Ask, They Answer, we'll be back next week at 10:30 with even more topics to debate. Let me throw this at you. Dale, I'll start with you. Any type of parting shot you'd like to throw out there before we wrap things up today? Anything that's on your mind you want to get off?
Yeah, you didn't hit me. You didn't tell me that was coming. There's a whole lot of stuff. With me not thinking about my thoughts, I could get myself in a lot of trouble. But down the road, I'd like for us to talk about FBI investigation and what's going on in racing and cleaning up the game.
Timmy?
Boy, I wasn't ready for this one, but I will say.
It can be positive. It doesn't have to be a controversial statement.
Well, how about this? I'm going to be wearing a different hat in 2 weeks. I'm going to go work for Parks Racing for the Pennsylvania Derby. And it's actually something I really like to do. I did it at the Preakness. I'm doing it. I did it for the Maryland Jockey Club. I'm going to be doing it for the Parks Racing and doing their notes team. And I hope Dale has a horse down there so I can talk to him.
Hey, I enjoy going there. I don't think I'll be there this year, Timmy. But I would like to say, you know, Timmy's a good friend. And he's great for horse racing. Anybody who hasn't read his stuff needs to go back and research him and read some of the articles he's put out there. He's a great advocate for our sport, and I'm glad to be doing this with you too.
Hey, Dale, I guess I got to send you a check now.
Yeah, you do. You really just for parking your golf cart all summer, not for complimenting you. We take care of his golf cart at the barn at Saratoga all summer.
They do.
Yeah.
I'm surprised you. Yeah, that's. I've been doing that for a couple of years now, at least three.
Yeah, but we missed going to dinner this year, so I'll catch you later.
We'll get it done.
All right, buddy.
All right, guys. Well, appreciate it this morning. I Ask, They Answer is officially off and running, and I can tell you it's going to be fantastic every week. It'll continue to get better and better. Dale, appreciate it. Timmy, appreciate it.
Thank you, fellas. Mike.